Live from the Go Mile High Studios, this is the best damn sports show, period. With your hosts,
Ian McClintock,
Jason Meekum,
Jack Jones,
Estelle Ambrose,
and Tariq Young.
And welcome to the best damn sports show, period. Like I said, period. Last name ever, first name greatest. It is Tariq in the building. I am here with Ian, Jason, and Estelle, and Mr. Jack Jones.
You guys always say my last name, but nobody else's.
I think he only remembers your last name.
You also have like you have a syllable, like it's one syllable each. We all have like two syllables.
Yeah, JJ. JJ.
Mine's like four.
A lot of people call me Jack Jones, just straight up, so I don't mind it.
That's JJ. That's JJ in the hood.
I mean, at least it's not Mike Jones.
Mike Jones? Who Mike Jones?
Who?
But we're going to start the show off talking about the Rockies suck. We're going to get that out of the way. We're going to get that
he
out of the way.
Just gets right into it. Gets
about
right
to
into
be
the
worse.
Point.
We're just going to
lost
get that
Kyle
out of
Freeland.
The way. Yep, just going to get that out of the way.
Just immediately start the pitcher that you just
well,
signed.
Yeah, that's
from
what
Tennessee.
I'm saying. They just got this great talent out of the draft. Just put him straight on the team. He doesn't even need to go through the minors.
Look, they didn't even care. I'm telling you, on Facebook, they were just like, sell the team in the comments. they didn't even care he was drafted.
Well, at this point, Rockies fans don't care about anything, and the Rockies are going to lose 100 games for the first time in their history.
I thought the goal was 500.
I mean, I put in the group chat
that's
under 105.
Take. Not even hot take. It's just honest take.
No, it's honest. It's honest.
Okay, so over under 105.
Oh, man, I think it's going to be, like, right around that number. So
that's
it's gonna
why
be,
I'm asking.
I'm going to go under because I think it'll be, like, 103.
Okay.
I'll go under.
Okay.
105 is a lot of losses.
So is 100.
Yeah. But so is 100. And well, at that point, do you embrace it?
Well, maybe some of these young fellas that have never played even double A before are going to shine on the Rockies.
You see more of Pint.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel
Riley
like
Pint.
He has a 27 ERA.
I feel like if you lose 100 games, you should just retire.
Well, I got a question. Has the Rockies players lose their motivation to win now?
Well, yeah.
As the Spurs are crushed?
Here's what I have to say about that. I think that the veteran players do, but there's a lot of young players that are getting opportunities right now, so I think there's a little fire there for some of these guys to get a job, but I think that's
get
about
out
it.
Of the Rocky
that's about,
system.
That's about it. And like, yeah, getting out of Triple A, but I mean, like, there's no way Chris Bryant will come back. CJ Cron will probably be done for the year too. I mean, these guys just shouldn't come back. It's pathetic.
And we're gonna lose Chuck Nasty.
Wow. Yeah.
So
retirement.
So who's gonna go down swinging? Pun intended.
The Rockies.
Elias Diaz. He's their only representative out there in Seattle.
They got
to
trade
and everyone.
That was a forced representative. Yeah. I don't even know if he deserved it. So
he's probably still the best player.
Apparently, we couldn't get out of the way.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that the Rockies just shouldn't have had a player in the All-Star game anyways.
Hijacked.
Sorry, Terry.
They got to be like the longest yard and have some tree outs.
Some tree outs?
Some tree outs. Best man wins.
It's Brucey's time to shine.
It's Brucey's, exactly. But transitioning into the NBA Summer League, Victor Wembanyama. He was the talk of Vegas all weekend, from Britney Spears' altercation to game one.
I've never seen so much hype around a Summer League game. Like, completely sold out. And you got to feel a little bit for the guy because he definitely had a tough game. I mean, it wasn't horrible. I think it was 9 points, 8 rebounds, 5 blocks. But he shot like 3 for 13
and
or something.
And he just like looked soft. And
yeah,
beat.
No. I mean, yeah, he looked like he wasn't ready for the NBA. I mean, you got to think about it. He is the highest like ranked prospect since LeBron James. It's got to be a lot of pressure. So you understand it, but then he comes back and has a phenomenal game, and then they sit him down for the year, so I don't know.
I mean, where do we even start with this? Because, I mean,
there's so many things.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, kind of going back to Jason's point about a week or two ago, we had brought up, should Wembanyama or Jokic or should these stars consider playing in FIBA, you know, just to get more reps? And now seeing that Wembanyama, I mean, in light of other situations, they're shutting him down after 2 games. I personally feel like is a dud on the Spurs side, because I figured the more reps in the NBA system, the better you would do. But at the same time, now that he's just sitting there, he could have been getting reps representing France over in FIBA, to Jason's point. So that almost feels like a full circle moment there.
Here's my thought on it, though. I mean, I don't think they want him to play anymore, obviously, so he avoids injury. Mm-hmm. But maybe they realized that he needed to get a little bit bigger and a little bit stronger, and was like, if you're going to go play in any of these places, you're going to get hurt because you're not big enough. People are pushing you around. So we're going to take you out of the game, and we're going to work out every day for hours,
3 hours,
and get you bigger before the season starts. Not, he's not going to come out as Giannis, but gain 10 pounds or something so he can hold his ground a little more, and, you know, work with Tim Duncan, David Robinson, all these guys. I like the move by the Spurs. They got to see what they wanted. They got the good game out of Wembanyama, and now they can just personally work with him all offseason.
I also wonder how much of this was planned. Yeah. Like, some of, like, Peyton Watson for the Nuggets, I don't think it's playing another game for them in the summer league. So I feel like it might have just been one of those things. It was like, get you two games, get you feeling it. We'll see what we want to see out of you, see how you perform against other guys in your draft year and are, like, at your skill level, theoretically, like, same age group and whatnot.
And he performed well, too. And you see these guys that perform well, they're getting sat down right away. It's like, all right, we saw what we needed to see.
No more to see.
And you can go sit down for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, let's see our other talent. Uh-huh. That's just, like,
did you guys see him walking around Vegas? If you're a photographer, man, he's easy to capture. That dude was giant.
Imagine being in a crowd of people, and then you just see Victor Wembanyama, who's a foot taller than any other person on
the
strip.
Easy to spot out.
Well, here's the thing. Would you be seeing that, or would you be seeing this new sphere lit up like a huge basketball that you can see from space?
It feels like they'll Vegas is exploding right now.
If you were standing next to a sphere, they might be the same height.
Who knows? Those gross.
Did anyone hear about the sphere being built?
Yes.
So. I had no idea.
I had no idea it was being built, and then it just appeared.
I forgot all about it.
No, so MGM, it is a $2.4 billion complex.
Could spend that money on better things.
That replaced the old Tropicana Hotel and Casino out there. It's owned by MGM. It's got 587 LED panels on the outside, so you can light it up to however you want. The first time they lit it up was the night of the 4th of July with the fireworks show. Mm-hmm. But they've also done like Earth, a simulation of Earth, showing where the sun is and where
I've
exactly
seen so
it
many
is.
Things.
And then I saw like an eyeball.
I saw the moon and it looked so realistic.
You need to
take that and make a mini like desk version, and whatever happens in Vegas, it has to happen on your desk.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it is what it is, but it's also a 15,000 seat amphitheater. Mm. And the first people that get to break it in is shockingly the band U2.
U2 actually has a very very solid following.
Yeah, but people really love the first ones to break in the sphere.
Hey, welcome to Jimmy Fallon.
Choice. Well, and you know what else
happened?
Should
have been like the Jabberwockies or like Chippendales. Make it real Vegas.
It should have been
Honestly,
Usher.
You should have put the Summer League in the sphere with the huge basketball on the outside.
I don't know.
I don't think it would fit.
They would find a way.
It should have been Usher.
I mean, Wembanyama's height might not fit. It should have been
Usher. Usher was the talk of the town. It should have been him. It really should have, but I don't know. I think the Summer League so far has surprised me a little bit. I know that first game with Wimby, there was a lot.
It was a rough game.
He got dunked on.
He got dunked on. He didn't get dunked on. He just got embarrassed. I don't know. I feel like he still has a lot more time to develop because. They were like taking candy from a baby.
I know.
He was trying to back people down, and they just come behind him and steal the ball. So
his dribble
is so high because he's tall. So that's where I want to get into it and ask you all as a whole, do you think he gets better from here? I know he only played two games, but does he improve by the time opening night happens?
I mean, he has to. That's a problem. I mean, here's the thing. It is such a violent and wild swing from game one to game two. So, I mean, he's got to work on his handles and, you know, like was Jack was attesting to earlier, get in work with David Robinson, get in work with Tim Duncan. And, I mean, shoot, Greg Popovich, he's around for another 5 years. He's here until Wembanyama decides, oh, now I want the big money. He's probably going to leave, and then Popovich is going
to
leave.
Wembanyama needs to eat like 5,000 calories a day for the next 3 months and then work out like 2 times a day and just try to get bigger.
So almost like a Chet situation.
Yes, because we see Chet in the summer league right now, and he looks more controlled. People aren't really pushing him around as much. I know we didn't see him in the summer league, but even in like the Drew League, where you're seeing guys push him around, and he seems to hold his ground a little better. Unlike Wembanyama, who couldn't hold his ground. I think that he's going to be good this year. I think there's going to be definitely some growing pains a little bit, and I think he's going to be quote-unquote exposed a little bit, but not horribly. It's just he's not going to – I don't think this year is his year to explode and take over the NBA. I think he needs to develop a little bit more.
So he's not going to be an All-Star then?
No, well, I don't think so.
I think the only way he gets in is if the weird fan vote allows him to get in.
I still don't think he will. I think Chet would get in over him.
Fall, because you said that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, he could.
I have much higher hopes for Chet this year than Victor, just because he's – a little bit bigger. They're the same type of player, though.
Well, not only that, and again, like we have been mentioning, he's got a year of NBA experience under his belt, working with the trainers, working out with NBA teams. Wembanyama doesn't have that yet.
No.
So again, I could see it being a similar situation. Maybe gets closer to rookie of the year, falls to Chet, but year two, year three, I think that's when we get the true Victor Wembanyama experience.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I think he's going to need the time to develop. I can't wait to see it, but I still think at the end of the season, I'm going to have Chet as MVP, or not MVP, but Rookie of the Year. Yeah. Rookie of the Year, because, I mean, from the summer league games I've seen, he's been it's been a block party like.
Well, he just looks like a man amongst boys.
Exactly.
He looks like he's the second-year player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a man amongst whatever crowd he was in Vegas, where Britney decided to do her thing. But
and speaking of Britney, we're gonna get back to that after the break to see what went down with the situation. You're listening to the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human is pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from the sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7077.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear spotting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
One second I'm having a smoke. Next thing, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey is famous and you are not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service or State Forest during the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest.
It's not that far away. Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Estelle, and
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
This is the best damn sports show, period.
Ooh, ooh! And we are back on the best damn sports show, period. Sponsored by GoMileHigh.com. So before we went to break, we were talking about Britney Spears. You know, she was the talk of the town this weekend, also with Usher. But, you know, we're not going to talk about Usher. We're talking about Britney. Because she got into an incident with Victor Wembanyama's security.
Yeah, that was a weird situation.
She had her privilege checked. You've seen the videos, she was running up behind Victor Wembanyama and his security crew, and per NBA policy, and honestly, any athlete should follow this, whenever you're in public, no matter what happens, you keep moving. Mm-hmm. So he kept moving, he didn't see what happened, and when you watch the video, she goes up to tap him on the shoulder, and it's a very blatant difference, which makes it hilarious. Tapping on her butt. Mm-hmm. But the security guard almost deflects the hand from Britney, and she ends up hitting herself in the face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was talking about she got hit by him.
They made it sound like this guy sucker punched her in the face and knocked her out.
Like in the video, you can see she runs up like a little fan and was just like, ooh, 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 like, hey.
No, she was trying to use her privilege as a star to try to get to rub elbows.
Again, even if you are a fan and a security guard hits you, again, I don't think you should be grabbing people.
And this is what she said.
I put this not on Victor at all. This is not his fault.
Fine. Victor didn't want any of that toxic.
Look, this is what she said in her statement on Instagram. She said that she wanted to walk up to him because she had saw him and then saw him again when she was leaving the restaurant and was like, oh, it's an athlete. So she wanted to say thank you, or she wanted to say congratulations on his success. And then she ended her statement by saying, I get swarmed by people all the time. In fact, that night I was swarmed by at least 20 fans. My security didn't hit any of them.
Well, when you watched the video, she had no security around her.
Also, it sounds like the security didn't even really hit her. He grabbed her.
Brittany was legit trying to tap Victor on the shoulder. There was no grab. You couldn't see the shirt move. It was literally the security guard, pure deflection and down.
At least he didn't flop. That gives us promising of him in his NBA career.
He didn't get touched. That's not on him. Again, this is not on him.
Wemby kept walking. He did exactly what he was supposed to do.
He probably did not realize.
Look, he's been the talk of the town this weekend. He treated her like she was a Kardashian. Like,
oh, my God.
You got to love this.
How long until he's rumored to be dating one?
Yeah.
Like a wild.
I might be one of those Jenners, you know, starting five.
I mean, according to the party that Jason was telling us so politely about last week, sounds like Kim is all about Tom Brady.
Oh, all about the TB12, baby.
She's 80 for Brady now.
She said he got rings. That's
so, the goat right there. So if it does happen, is it more keeping up with the Kardashians, or do they now become the Brady Bunch?
Well, it's like a combination of the two. It's like the Kardashians featuring the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Kanye ain't gonna like Tom that.
Hooking up with
No, they won't get together. There's no way.
Yeah, Kanye. There's will absolutely have something to say
no about way. That. Yeah, I don't see Tom's like, I don't want you in my life.
I'm a champion. Is all of Kim's dreams in a guy.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that Kim is all of Tom's dreams.
Tom's also smart.
Well, I mean, Kim's also gone after Pete Davidson and some other interesting characters.
And Pete is not so
She's
smart.
Like, oh my God, he's like Michael Jordan, but just white.
And has hair.
Well, somehow every year Tom Brady gets older, he just looks younger, and I don't get it.
Botox.
So,
Botox.
He was born with the Benjamin Button disease.
Yeah, but I highly doubt that'll happen. People just like to make up rumors on social media.
Oh yeah, most definitely. That's what it is. But going back to the summer league, Scoot Henderson and Amen Thompson got injured and have been put down for the rest of the summer league.
It sounded like Amon Thompson's wasn't too bad. He just tweaked his ankle a little bit, but you don't want to mess with that. Yeah. And I didn't see what Scoot's injury was.
I think it was his
shoulder.
Yeah.
It was his shoulder because he like landed hard on the court.
And then they were just like, yeah, you're done.
Well, you don't want, especially your lottery draft pick, if they're feeling any type of pain. The summer league, I mean, sure, you want to get experience, but it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're tweaked up, don't play and be ready for the season because those teams need those guys so bad. I mean, Damian Lillard's about to get traded, and the Trailblazers are relying on Scoot Henderson to be their future. So if he starts his career injured, that's a bad sign. We've seen something like that with a man named Zion Williamson.
And he played a great first game before he totally got hurt. Did. Like,
he had a great great point guard game.
Yeah,
it was like 15 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists or something like that. It was awesome. He looked great in his first game. And so did both the Thompson brothers.
Yeah.
They both looked awesome in their first games. I think that Amon Thompson had 15, and his brother had like 9, 8, and 8. It was solid.
Aswar had a great game, really close to a triple-double, so I'm happy for him.
You know who else played a good game?
Hunter
Tyson.
Can't
wait more.
Anthony Black.
Oh.
Who else has been playing well? Both the K-State guys, Keontae George and then the shorter point guard. I forgot his name. But they both – Keontae George had like a 33-point 10-assist game. And the Powell – Powell, the shorter point guard from K-State, he also had an awesome game. So there's been like a couple of weird standouts, but it seems like a lot of the lottery guys are playing pretty well, except for, you know, Brandon Miller. He's having a little bit of foul trouble, but he's still not playing horrible.
He outplayed Victor in that matchup.
Well,
the first
true,
one, yeah.
True, true. But you know who else has been playing well?
Who?
Colin Gillespie.
He had a better game this game.
Than Hunter
Tyson.
Hunter Tyson
is the bigger guy.
Is the guy.
Is the man.
Well, and we figured out that Strother?
Yeah.
He has been not doing very well so far to start the season.
That leads me to say, who is shocking you the most in the summer league games? Like I said, I think Scoot was really showing a lot of potential before he went down. So I'm excited to see him play.
I think shocking, not in the best way, and I was talking with Blake about this. I'm really starting to wonder how Taco Fall is still in the NBA.
I know. Yeah.
He's playing in summer league, so it kind of gives you where he's at.
Well, he's been playing in the summer league every season that he's been in the NBA, and eventually you would think that players would graduate from summer league. I mean, Christian Brown,
they get a certificate. He's not
touching.
They get a certificate.
Yeah, you know, you get a whole graduation cap.
Yeah,
but I mean, it just seems like he's been there every season, no matter what team he signs with. And I don't know if I see it anymore with him.
I don't see it. I mean, we see guys at his size move in a very athletic way, such as Victor Wembanyama. And he's just like a big giraffe, you know? It's like you feel like he's just going to tumble and fall on the floor all the time, or he can't move very quickly. He can't shoot at all. I mean, he's really only inside the paint, and everybody knows that, and there's guys that can guard him in this day and age, so... I mean, he was playing overseas during the season, last season, and I think that is maybe more of his career path than the NBA at this
point.
Or
G League.
G League, too, but I would rather play overseas at that point because I don't think he's going to make an NBA team.
I thought he was in China.
He was, but then he signed with a team this summer and is playing in Summer League again.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Man, Tyreek, you weren't kidding about that Anthony Black. He's destroying it out there right now.
Hey,
17 points.
Hey, maybe we were
five
wrong.
Rebounds,
yeah,
five assists,
yeah,
three steals.
Bad pick.
Yeah, well, let's talk
there
about
no
the
bad pick
let's
about
talk,
it.
Let's talk about the five other shooting guards on their team.
Yeah, the ones who aren't in summer league.
Yeah,
that aren't in the summer league.
I mean, yeah, he did great. The team still lost by 11.
So. Also, you have to take the summer league with a grain of salt because the guys scoring like 30, 40 points, they'll probably do pretty well during the season, but the guys averaging like 15 to 20, it doesn't translate the same over to the NBA.
No, it really doesn't.
It doesn't. I mean, we can see now, too, team in the summer league that's winless, the Nuggets. How we feel about the winless Nuggets in the summer league?
Well, they're playing two very small point guards in Colin Gillespie and Jalen Pickett. They're both smaller guys. And then on top of that, so it puts everyone else playing out of position, and then Ishmael Kamaduate is incredibly soft, and he's not going to play for the Nuggets this year. So
oh, she said he needs some milk.
Yeah.
Well, have you watched him play? He just gets beat.
Win or loss, it doesn't matter. It's
again, it's so
yeah. No, I saw they lost their first two games, and I was like, oh well. I mean, who cares?
I was more excited about Hunter Tyson when I saw
Hunter Tyson has me excited.
Peyton Watson has me super excited. He's been playing super well. I mean, he needs to figure out how to shoot, but so does Christian Brown.
I mean, they're also not playing. They're not playing for their shooting.
No, they're not. Defense and going to the hoop.
Getting used to the repetitions going at NBA speed.
What else got me excited about the Nuggets is how the entire team almost has been showing up to support their team.
Literally, it's like everyone but Jamal.
It's awesome.
Well, Jamal's with Shaq with all these other people having the best summer ever.
Even Coach came down there and...
Well, Coach had to accept an award.
On behalf of his father.
Jamal's been living his best life since he won that championship.
Meanwhile, the Joker's doing flips into the river.
Well, yeah, we saw that people were chanting MVP on the river for him. I loved that.
What can I say? He's the man of the people. You gotta love it. Him and Jamal worked hard to get to where they're at right now with this championship team.
Did you see that flip? That's impressive from a big guy.
I can't even do a flip like that.
Honestly, though, Michael Porter Jr. has been talking on the media so much more after the championship, just about, I don't know, anything. I just keep seeing him on interviews everywhere.
He said, I did that.
He's turned into a Slim Shady. He bleached his hair and everything.
He said, yeah, I did that. I know I didn't have good games, but yeah, I won that championship for us.
Well, Colin Gillespie technically is getting a ring. So
so is Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, Thomas Bryant played in games.
He did luck out.
Like five games.
Colin Gillespie didn't.
Hey, Reggie showed up. He's getting a ring, baby.
The real MVP is DeAndre Jordan. 2 minutes. 2 minutes of greatness, okay?
Hey, that's all we need, baby. 2 minutes
of greatness.
I think we care
more about his veteran knowledge than playing.
But no, I think it's hard to say that any team's really stuck out one way or another. I think, you know, if we ask this again here in about another week or so, this way we can actually see, you know, who's having more than just a little bit of a flair of a game, I think would be more apropos.
And speaking of sticking out, you know, the NBA, they got creative. We got the new in-season tournament happening in November. We're gonna get into that right after the break. You're listening to the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Trying to make plans for this weekend?
I can't wait to see what he brings me.
Don't know what to do to kill time?
Pretty sure you just answered your own question.
Tune in every Wednesday. From 3 until 4.
What you talking about?
Sports. Must-see events and many more. Only on GoMileHigh.com.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama, you know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
It's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air
broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Welcome back to the best damn sports show, period.
All right, then, just let me kick a little sport flow. It's John Cena on the best damn sports show. I'm nothing but net, like Peyton from long range. I got a big unit, so I'm going for long change. I'm on top, I'm on pass, y'all. I throw the high heat like a Rob Dibble fastball. Beats is nice, flow's astounding. I pitch a perfect game like my name is Tom Browning. Yeah, that's right, and we keep it sparking. Sweet swing like Eric Davis or Barry Larkin. I'm a bad boy like Sally or Lambeer. Your show is blessed, man. The champ done been here.
Brought to you by GoMileHigh.com.
Welcome back to the best damn sports show, period. I am your host, Tariq. I am with Jack, Ian, Jason, and Estelle. So before we went to break, the NBA has discussed now actually happening this season. In-season tournament, all 30 teams will be playing in November on Fridays and Tuesdays.
Tuesdays and Fridays
with the top two teams making it out of the group stage going into a knockout round, and the last four teams remaining playing in Vegas, and then the winner wins the NBA Cup.
So to clarify on this, there are six groups of five teams, so each team is going to be playing against four other teams from their perspective conference. You win the group, you move on. So there's six winners, and then it's essentially a wild card. So the best team from that little tournament that doesn't win their group gets to move on. And then that's when we see the 8-4-2.
They're kind of making it like it's the Champions League in soccer.
Yeah, something like that. Weird, isn't it?
It was exactly like the start of the NBA bubble, except without pre-rankings.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at the way that these groups shook out, it actually is similar to...
Because they do it based off of last season.
Yes, so the Nuggets are like the one seed. You know, Memphis was the two, Sacramento was the three. They're all separated. But the four seed... So Phoenix is in with Sacramento. The five seed, the Clippers, they're in with Memphis. And then the six seed, they were in with Denver. And then it just kind of snakes like that. So that's how they separated it.
So here's my thought on the in-season tournament. I understand why Adam Silver would do it, because of more popularity at the beginning of the season. More guys will play, more money, more this, more that. But I find it very pointless for the good teams in the NBA. Because when I'm thinking about it, like, there's absolutely no way the Denver Nuggets are going to try their hardest to win this championship. There's no way that the Bucks are going to care about this championship. It's a stupid little tournament that kind of means nothing in the middle of your season except a couple regular season games. Sure, you can try to win a couple of them and make it into the playoff, but if you're the champion, it doesn't matter. You get a couple more bucks. Cool, and I don't know. I'm excited to see what it looks like, but I just think it's pointless, and I think we're going to see teams that aren't as good end up winning it because they care more and they really want to show that they're really good when all these teams at the top of the East and West are not going to care. I mean, there's no like, oh, this helps you in the playoffs, this helps you later in the season. Sure, it gives you a little momentum, but it's just pointless. I don't see a point in it.
Well, I have a hot take. I was thinking about this today on my way here. The NBA is the softest league. I have come to that opinion. One, you get rings for winning Summer League. I think that is the dumbest thing in the world. It might matter to these G League guys, but say the Nuggets won Summer League last year and then they won the championship. Which one is Christian Brown displaying more proudly? His NBA one. He doesn't care about the dumb Summer League one. So that's my first thing. Why are you giving these participation trophies out? That's basically what they're like. Cool, you won Summer League? Cool, I guess. So that's my first thing. The second one, this NCAA tournament kind of feels like the same thing. Again, your like reward for winning it is you play like, you only have to play like 80 games technically, but just it's because the playoffs, like your two games are just the knockout stages. Again, the NBA Cup kind of also feels like a participation trophy. Like Derek was saying, no like big time players are going to care because it doesn't really matter. Cool, you could be an NBA Cup winner or you could be an NBA Finals winner. One of those is much cooler and takes a lot. It's a lot harder to get to 4-7 game series to get there versus these knockout stages. Awesome. Cool. Go into the next one. East and West conference MVPs. Why? They're not useful. Jimmy Butler didn't want to touch his. Jokic probably lost his. He's not displaying that. Again, that also kind of feels participation trophy. Like, you didn't make it all the way. Why is there an MVP? Just, you should have the MVP of the finals, and that's it. Make it like hockey. Like, I'm fine with the trophies because you won your own, like, conference or whatever. But again, we don't need these MVPs. It feels like the NBA is trying harder and harder to make everyone feel good, and the new in-season tournament is just another way to do that. Why? There's no reason for this. I mean, they're going to be playing. It's like you get, I think, two games at home, two games on the road, and it's just more regular season games. Like, they count for regular season. Cool, you get to play in Vegas. Just give Vegas a team, and then guess what? Teams get to visit it anyway. It seems like Adam Silver really wants to be in Vegas but doesn't want to put a team there.
And this was a move for Adam Silver to make money and not for the actual NBA itself, because all it's going to do is bring viewership. That's the only point of this, is to bring more viewership to the NBA.
The poor owners.
Oh, it's
owners
not actually for the season. Yeah. It doesn't matter for your resume.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing we were talking about the other day, too, when we were discussing it. Who deserves an NBA expansion team? And we all came together and said Seattle and Vegas.
Just so put a team there. No one cares about this in-season tournament.
Yeah, just put a team there, because I feel like you're doing this tournament just to get more viewership. Okay, but at the end of the day, the trophy's not going to matter. It's not going to be prestigious, because they're going to be like, okay, yeah, you tried it. You won in the middle of the season.
You won in early December.
It's going to matter.
I don't think that's going to matter massively.
I
don't think it's going to matter.
There are three weaknesses the NBA has. One of them is injuries. Another one's mid-seasons. Another one's waiting for the playoffs to happen. Now, with the midseason tournament, that escapes all of that.
I don't think so, because it's happening so early. You're still going to be in February and feeling like February and March is still going to feel like we need the playoffs to start, because this is early December. So we still have all of January, and then you hit All-Star break, and then you're just sitting around. And I think this hurts injuries, too, because guys are going to be trying to play harder in December instead of maybe not trying as hard and load managing.
I think that'd be great to see him play hard. Awesome. This is a midseason playoff game.
But you're saying for injuries, it hurts.
Yeah, injuries, because what I'm saying for injuries-wise is a lot of times, like, all right, this is a year, it's like Celtics a couple years. This year, we're going to make it all the way. Injuries happen. Now we never get to see the dream team go all the way. Now, this time midseason, when you're all healthy, there's an opportunity to see your team, see how far they can get. All right. And then once you won, you're now a threat to the NBA. People are looking out for you. This is a midseason champs. Watch out, guys. We might look out for this team instead of the last season champs.
You say midseason champs, and it's just like, I laugh at it. Who cares?
It's like, thanks for trying, because it's like,
You
give them a midseason. If they win the midseason championship, especially if it's a team that sucks, they're not going to be there at the end of the year.
This has no like thing for standings. This has like, you're not like an automatic team.
If Portland wins, are you going to sit here and be like, okay, yeah, Portland's going to win the NBA championship at the end of the year? It doesn't make sense.
So the team that wins the midseason championship, let's say it's Celtics, no one's going to think they're going to be a real deal now? Is this all just a normal NBA game?
I mean,
here's one thing I want you to think about, too. If this player right here is a three-time NBA Cup winner, and this player right here is a three-time NBA Finals champion, which one do you look at more highly? Which one do you think is better?
The champion, because it's harder to be a champion. Again, these are like one knockout stages.
Exactly.
This is still a championship game. It's the brackets. Who is the best?
But you're playing seven games potentially in the playoffs.
In the hardest basketball of the entire season, the lowest scoring games, the highest scoring games, the most intense basketball. This midseason tournament's not going
to
be like that.
Yeah, it's not a win and go home. It's a win and, oh no, you have to play more regular season. Ooh.
And on top of
you think people are going to look at LeBron even more highly if he wins the midseason tournament? Hell no. They're still going to say he sucks compared to Jordan. Like,
and more
of
that, this midseason will cause people to talk. It's going to cause ticket sales. And the NBA is going to get a lot more
ticket
viewership
sales
of
to
it.
Who? Vegas. Again, just put a team there. You're making more
regardless
money.
Regardless to who it was, the NBA still gets money off of it. Ian?
Yeah, Ian, you just insert yourself. What do you think?
Well, I was letting you all get your situations out. So the whole reason that I am personally for this is, one, to prevent the whole load management shenanigans that we see with all these stars.
Just rest LeBron for the whole time.
Well, but again, if
he doesn't
want,
need the money.
Well, the way I see it, if they want these postseason awards or these season awards that apparently carry weight when we consider, you know, who's the best, who's not, you know, I get it. They're trying to make the beginning to middle of the season games matter. That's what it is, because they want to see the same intensity throughout the entire season. And if, you know, if this is how they want to do it, okay. Personally, I'm just in it because I just want to see actual competitive basketball rather than teams taking a night off, taking two nights off, seeing a Kawhi situation where it's like, oh, I don't care. I'm going to sit this game out. And yeah, the revenue is going to be there. It all goes to the NBA, which honestly will probably turn a profit and turn into Vegas somehow getting a team because they're going to get a loan directly from the NBA. That's a part of the thing that has to happen. But not only that, all these other traditions that got started, they weren't originally part of the process. The Christmas Day games were not originally a part of the process. The draft being on TV was not originally a part of the process. We grew, we adapted, we learned, we've accepted, and most recently, same with the play-in tournament.
I think
and
that's another participation thing. I think it's another thing of the league being soft.
And that's fine, but it has gotten more viewers to the game. And that's what the NBA is truly looking for here. They want more eyes on the product. They're 2 years out from a new TV deal. They're trying to boost their revenue, make themselves a little bit more money. And honestly, I'm probably going to tune into those games because I want to see who actually cares. Yes, I realize it only counts as a regular season game, but every regular season game should matter. We saw that with the Nuggets. We needed home court to win a championship.
I don't think they needed it. I think if they played Boston, they still would have done. They still would have gotten better. But just having it throughout the first three rounds. But again, I think if they played Boston or Philly or Milwaukee, I think they still would have won. That team was just unstoppable and had fine road records.
And that's fine. But you look at the team's history, whenever they did not have home court advantage, they didn't make the finals. They didn't win a finals.
Also different teams.
And I understand that. But, you know, they're trying to make every other game matter. I can see where the NBA wants to try something new. I'm for it because, honestly, I would like to be able to say, you know, let's talk about this game in November. It could carry a little bit of weight. It might not mean much to everybody, but for those of us that actually want to see players play as many games as they are supposed to with the contracts that they are getting, I feel like that's just more of a benefit for the fans.
But the only other thing about the players playing thing is you play a minimum of four games and a maximum of six. Somebody could sit that entire thing out and still be eligible for an award. It's not enough games to make people... Like, I still think players are going to sit out of some of those games. I think if some team, let's say the Lakers, lose their first two games, we're not going to see LeBron or Anthony Davis in the next two. They'll probably already be out because one of their teams in the division is already 2-0 and on their way to the rest of the championship. I get it, and I think it's great for viewership. I'm going to tune in, obviously, even if I'm not for it or I don't think it's going to do anything. I'm still going to watch it, and that's the whole point of this. I think that people will watch it. I just don't think it's going to fix the not playing problem. It's 4 to 6 games. I don't think that's going to change a whole season.
Right. And I'm not saying that it's here to fix that problem because I agree with you that it is not long enough for it to affect that. But for them to have a little bit of something matter during the middle of the season, rather than us sitting here being like, okay, let's just get to Christmas. It's nice to know like, hey, okay, we're off the opening week high. Cool. Now we have the tournament. Cool. Now we have the Christmas games. Cool. Now we have the All-Star games. Cool. Now here's the run to the playoffs.
There's
it
still,
helps break it up. It gives you something to digest and look forward
But
to.
There's still a gap, like Estelle said. I think they honestly should have put it after Christmas because Christmas is the first big day and people get really excited about that. Sure. I guess maybe it brings it more to right at the beginning of the season, but teams aren't at their best at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you're 2 weeks into the year when it technically starts, right? Because it always starts like... It's always mid-October, and then this is starting middle. So you're a month into the year. Ooh. Like, you're not seeing these teams at their best like the finals again. I think it's useless.
Sure. And maybe if they reschedule it towards later in the season, I feel like more people would be for it.
I don't know. It's getting spicy. You know, I like the tea in here. So we're going to get back onto this conversation right after the break. You're listening to the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than Go Mile High Dicam, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human is pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again. I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human. A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is the best damn sports show, period.
The Broncos have been in 3 overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiffer got him free to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going off the New England. They won it on the first play of overtime.
Brought to you by GoMileHigh.com.
And we are back on the best damn sports show, period. Before we went to break, we were discussing the in-season tournament.
Y'all got heated. I stayed calm through my part.
Look.
Estelle's got a big opinion.
I'm very much against it. I think Well, and your whole thing about people watching, right? People watching this, you're tuning in, right? Yes. I think the casual fan, if they're not watching every regular season game, they're not going to watch that group play. They're only going to care about like the knockout stages.
See, that's one thing I disagree with. If in-season tournament, yeah, some casual fans are totally going to tune in, especially if their team goes to the final.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is they're only going to care about the knockout stages.
Well, yeah, and but that's maybe, still more viewership.
Yeah, but they're not going to care about the group play because it's, again, just regular season games.
I think that's one thing that I think will come out of this is more viewership. I just find the whole thing pointless because there's no incentive out of it. If there was more of an incentive for a team or somebody, then I feel like it would be more entertaining to me.
Okay, so going into the incentive part, I mean, the money part is fine.
That's what they get right now, right? That's all they get is money?
Yeah.
Or you should have just kept that out of the public. Like, cool, they get their money. We don't need to know that.
So, but I want to hear you guys' opinions, and I know Estelle's. How do you make this matter more to where you would be more comfortable with it right out of the gate?
I think it has to matter in terms of either ranking or seeding. Sure. Like, in terms of playoffs, because right now, again, it's just regular season games. Ooh, some games in November. Great. And, like, the championship game doesn't matter in terms of your stats. It doesn't matter. It literally is just a thing to watch.
Sure.
It's, like, not even counted as a real game.
Correct.
So I think in terms of that, it's pointless. So, again, if it had playoff implications, if it had, like, some sort of seeding, it has, like, you're guaranteed at least top six. Like, you don't have to be a play-in team. Like, things like that. Like, you get out of the play-in, you're guaranteed a top six spot. So if you fall to 6 or 7, you are, or if you fall to, like, 7, 8, 9, 10, you're in the playoffs. You're instantly in six.
I had the opposite thought. Okay. I think it should lock you into the play-in no matter what. Now, if your record's good enough to go above the play-in, sure, you go above. But let's say you're the Houston Rockets and you're going to win 35 games this year, but you lock in a play-in spot. So no matter what, you're going to be an X next to you for half the year, and you're going to be locked in that playoff spot in the bracket. Okay. I agree
that
with Estelle.
That could work, too.
Because if you give them top six, there's a chance of really
my thought is
team.
If you miss the play-in, you just miss it. Like, you're bad. But if you are in the play-in, like, you make it good enough to the play-in, you're automatically out of it. But if you miss the playoffs altogether, you're just a bad team.
I think that, too.
I like that, but – or, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. No, I was just saying because, I think – instead of doing like top six, that's really messes it up, especially if good teams are like out of it. I say it's better to do the play-in because at least if you're a terrible team, you have an opportunity to be in the play-in.
Because then you don't move out. Like, let's say the Thunder had a great year and they were going to be the sixth seed, but the bad team that won the middle of the tournament, they're the sixth seed now because of that. I don't think that's fair. I think a play-in spot is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it would mess up all the seeding, but I don't think it would in a play-in
setting. So no matter what, they're guaranteed to play extra basketball
after the season's
ends.
Over.
Again, they're guaranteed a spot in some
That's capacity. The only way it would matter because that's what matters. The NBA is centered around the playoffs, and it's centered around NBA Finals. You're
like considered you said, you want to watch competitive basketball. It's the most competitive basketball.
You're only considered a great player if you've won a Finals, if you've won a Finals MVP, if you performed well in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. NBA players get judged so much more off of their playoff performance than their regular season performance.
Sure.
So if you give a team a chance to halfway through the year automatically at least touch the playoffs, whether it's play-in or playoffs, but you have that security that you're going to make it, then there's way more to play for, especially for teams that might not make the play-in.
Well, even teams that do, it's like you guarantee a spot
regardless
of what happens.
Well, it's like relief off your shoulders.
Like, think about the Pelicans this year. Like, they were right at high, top of the division, then Zion got hurt. But if they had this tournament and they locked in a play-in spot, probably could have taken one of those last positions.
Yeah. Jason, what would be yours?
I don't know. I kind of like the idea. I mean, maybe not guaranteed first because otherwise they just force the team to kind of tank. No reason to play after that. But, you know, a low-end spot, you know, maybe like guarantees them at least 8th or 4th or something. Or maybe even they get like a guaranteed at least a lotto draft pick or something.
See, I don't think doing the draft is...
Yeah, the draft would be kind of...
See, the draft would be hard, but kind of diving into this whole, you know, if they're guaranteed a playoff spot... What would incentivize the players to continue to play on that team if they're already guaranteed to make the playoffs?
Well,
whether
no
it be the play-in
guaranteed.
Or the playoffs.
Well,
if they win, you guys are saying that they are guaranteed a spot. So I'm just asking, like, build upon that.
I guess then like, how would that that's when out? That regular season rule comes in, where you have to play a certain amount of games to win an award. So then even after you're guaranteed a play-in spot, first of all, you might want to make it out of the play-in. Second of all, if you want to win any type of in-season award, you have to play the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And if you rest your team for the rest of the year, there's no way you're going to perform well by the end of the season. You are training for the playoffs. You have made it. Now you got to just keep training yourself. Obviously, that team probably would have guys sit out more than other teams. But at the same time, if you want to win an award, if you want to be considered one of the best and, you know, build on your resume, you got to play in these games.
Also, sure, you're guaranteeing 10th. Say you want to get home court for one of your two playing games, or even bump out of that and you just don't want to be in the play-in altogether, get that extra week off. I think that's what will incentivize teams, players, because even like building and like before the in-season tournament and how they do it is everyone kind of races, like those bottom 10-ish teams, all, especially in the West, we're all fighting for that play-in spot. So I think it just incentivizes you to be either a home team in that or get the extra week off instead of, because why just, you want to be 10th and have the least chance of continuing to play basketball? Like you play, you get your spot and then you can keep building. You can maybe have a little bit more risk at the trade deadline too.
You can make a big trade at the deadline.
Yeah, you can try to bring in a star or bring it, like you know you're going to be in the playoffs, so you don't have to hemorrhage your team and like try to be a sell player because you're like maybe, maybe not. But if you have the spot, you could bring in talent to try and build and compete instead of, because if you're sitting your whole team, there's no way that's going to be good.
Throw the cup away for a playoff spot. Come on.
Yeah.
Also, just calling it the Champions Cup, I feel like it's such like an odd thing where it's like, cool? Like, it's kind of a dumb name.
Like, when they showed it, too, I was just like, it's not going to compare to the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Oh, no. No, it's like the Larry O'Brien trophy got cut in half.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, here you go. Here's half of the trophy.
Although are they also getting rings for it? Again, these participation trophies.
Oh, I hope
trophies.
Not. No, that's why I said just give them the playoffs. Give them the play-in spot.
They need to get belts.
But the other thing that I just thought of, this could be the answer to having teams tanking all the time.
True. If you give a bad team a chance to make the playoffs.
The Spurs.
Yep. And then guess what? This way we're not seeing, you know, a run of Cleveland Cavaliers getting multiple first overall picks, you know, like four.
The 76ers did it too.
The Sixers, the Bucks, the Clippers, you know, it gives those teams more incentive to be like, okay, if we win, you know, we might not hit the lottery, but it gives us a chance to get more notoriety, which means more free agents.
So playoff experience for the guys.
Maybe it shouldn't be the tournament of the best teams then. It should be the worst teams in NBA. Give them a chance.
That's a whole other tournament for a whole other thing.
Yes. Look, long as no one's popping champagne in Vegas talking about we're the in-season champions, I don't care.
Teams are going to do it. Teams are going to do it.
Somebody's going to do it.
No, they'll jump at the Bellagio.
Somebody's going to do it. But Home Run Derby, it's on right now. We've been trying not to talk about it because it's been on the screen, but
crazy stuff's
going on. We're going to get into it right after the commercial break. You're listening to the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights,